Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions. And welcome to the URN Radio Network. I'm the Paranormal Outlaw, the Mouth from the South, and joining me, as always, is Martin Bravo and Jeffrey, the opinionated one, Sterl.
What? I think I found the post you were talking about that you said you thought was funny. I think it was Thursday. I said, the FCC has been fielding complaints about the CBS show Two Broke Girls due to sexual jokes. It's a simple solution, people. If you don't like the show, don't watch it. Don't want your kids to watch the show? Then monitor what your damn kids watch. Nobody is responsible for helping you raise your kids the way you see fit, except yourself.
Yes. I agree with that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the only other thing I posted this week, other than Monday morning when I posted, it's Monday morning, everybody up at them.
No, it was that Two Broke Girl post. I was like, yeah, you're going to piss somebody off.
I hope I did.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right, it is that simple. Like, if you don't like what you're seeing, don't watch it.
Change the channel. All these people say, oh, well, our kids might be watching. Well, that ain't my damn problem.
Right, it's bad parenting.
If I had a kid here and I didn't want my kids to watch what was on TBN, guess what? I wouldn't let them watch TBN.
Exactly. Speaking of parenting, I want to ask you guys this because you know we kind of all come from a different generation of the way the kids are now, and. Yeah, here's a perfect example that happened right before the show. There was a bunch of kids outside playing in the street, right? And, of course, our street dead ends, but still, you know, I was taught, you can ride your bike down the street, whatnot, but not run around and play and lay your toys in the middle of the road, that kind of thing, right? And Dad comes and picks me up for dinner. And the kids kind of moved to the side of the road, but this one little girl, probably about 6 or 7 years old, gets in front of the car and starts dancing as we're trying to leave. Okay? And Dad, you could see his face turning red. But then the sister grabbed her and moved her out of the way. Well, then we took off, and we didn't see that they had a damn skateboard laying in the middle of the road, and we ran over the top of it. And the car kind of jumped up. We're like, what in the hell? We run over. So we stopped and we backed up. And, boy, Dad was fuming. He got out and he told them kids they need to leave their damn toys out of the middle of the road. And we drove off. Now, if I would have done something like that, number one, my parents would have said, you got what you deserve by leaving your toy in the middle of the road. We're not buying you another one. Two, I'd have gotten my ass whooped for leaving it in the road. Or even
right.
Playing in the road. But kids nowadays, their parents just turn them loose, and they do whatever the hell they want. Just don't get out.
My mother
because
what was left of the skateboard.
You know why this kind of stuff happens? Because there's no longer repercussions. Like, people are scared to tell other people what they're doing wrong. Like, back in the day, you know, if you're a parent and your kids acted like that, one of your friends would come over and be like, "Hey, man, you got to watch your kids. You know, like they're getting a little rowdy." Nowadays, you're so scared of going next door and telling your neighbor something because you don't want it to look bad on you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that seriously, that, I mean, to me, that's what's wrong. Like, we all got to stop being so scared of telling somebody what they're doing wrong, you know.
Well, that and the fact of being a former teacher, and Jeff can agree with me because he still teaches, it's parents don't take the responsibility to actually think that their kids do wrong, right?
Yep.
The more and more I saw when I tried to talk to a parent about their child acting up, they defended them. They defended them, you know, right off the bat, instead of going, well, I'll get to the bottom of this, and if they are acting up, I'll take care of it. You don't hear that nowadays. It's
no,
my
not at all.
Kid did anything wrong, it's your fault, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that, yeah, because I know if a teacher or a principal or somebody would have come to my parents, they would have said, well, let me check this out, and I'll take care of it. And if I was acting up, they would have whooped my ass and said, you better shape your ass up, you know.
Yep. Would have got the old town beating, you know, like everybody in town gets a turn.
Oh, yeah. But you can't do that nowadays. And what's sad is even in the public school system, the thing that the principal always tells you is, well, if you're having a problem with a child in your class, you need to contact the parents. It
mm-hmm.
does no fucking good. I'm sorry. It doesn't work most of the time. You'll get one or two parents that's got your back. But if you call, number one, they're going to think you're picking on their child, period.
You know
what I'm saying? And I don't get it. I don't get it. Am I right, Jeff?
Well, yeah. I can't argue with that.
Yeah, and people wonder why school tests are down and why kids act the way they do in school. Bottom line is, parents need to be parents and quit. Nowadays, they turn their kids to school because it's a free babysitting job. That's it. They get little kids. They don't really give a shit what goes on. They're out of their hair. And they're not involved in the children's lives. So that's my rant on that. But, yeah, that just pissed me off. I've never seen kids dance in front of a car that's trying to pull off.
Yeah, you should have hit him.
If I'd have done that in my neighborhood growing up, the person driving the car would have gotten out and whipped my ass.
and then hit you with the car.
Then went and told my parents what I did. Then they'd have come, dragged me off the street, brought me in the house, then they'd have whooped my ass there, too.
Nice.
Oh,
that's,
man.
That's what the whole neighborhood could whoop you before your parents did.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, and I gotta get to booking. After next Sunday, I don't have any guest booked, so if you guys got any suggestions of people to contact, just send me a message on
I want to interview Obama, so let's get him on the show.
Yeah,
I'm sure
that would happen. Yeah.
That would totally not even end well.
I had a dream the other night that I answered my phone, and on the other end of the line was the president. I don't remember much else after that. I remember specifically, I answered the phone, I go, hello, and I hear – you know, the operator said, please hold for the President of the United States. And I was like, whoa. And then Obama is on the other line going, hey, Jeff, what's up? And just talking to me like that. Not to talk about any issues or anything like that, but just to call and see what's going on.
Right? That's funny. Oh, I'd be so pissed.
I woke up. The hell was that all about?
Oh, man. Well, if you want to follow us on Twitter, the URM Radio Network has a Twitter account, and it's URM Radio Network on Twitter. So you can – I had it set up where I had to approve, but that got a pain in the ass. So now if you just want to follow us, you can follow us, and I don't have to approve it.
Nice.
So, and it will it will show you anytime a show is being broadcast. I'd like to welcome, last week we had our premiere of our new radio show on Mondays, FAPS Radio, F-A-P-S, stands for Freaking Awesome Paranormal Show. That's what they come up with, and it's Nicole and Ryan from All Seeing Paranormal out of Virginia. So
nice.
They are now part of the radio network, and stay tuned for lots of things, especially on Full Spectrum Radio. They got, I'll have to tell you guys off air, but I know of two very, very, very famous people that might be coming on the show. It's been talked about, that hadn't been confirmed yet. But, these people are not in the paranormal. These are people from Hollywood. That's all I will say.
Yes, you can tell everybody that I'm going to be on their show.
No. I don't think these two people's status could equal. You couldn't even get a percentage of their fame.
Oh, I got fans.
So
I'm pretty sure my lifetime make is not going to equal to like 1 year of their pay.
But it's all based on one of their friends up in Chicago. You know, we've had Jeff Mudgett on talking about H.H. Holmes, his great-grandfather. Well, this guy's got the rights, and Hollywood's going to make a movie about H.H. Holmes.
Oh, I've heard about that.
And possibly the individual that is going to play Holmes and the actual director of the movie will be on the show.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed for Matt and Dennis, because that would be a awesome broadcast. Be able to talk to those people. Hell, I might even call in on that show. Just to tell them if they ever need an extra, they can call me up, put me on speed dial,
right?
And not hire anybody that's named Jeff Sterl.
Oh, I've done my share of extras.
Well, when they need an extra wide body, they come to you. I understand.
Yes, they do. And also the extra special body.
But they have to blame you in the background, Jeff, because your head takes up so much of the camera shot that, you know, they kind of have to blame you.
They're afraid that I'm going to upstage everything from the start. That's what they're afraid of.
No, you'll block them. They won't be able to see them.
That's what Michael Shannon told me personally, that I'm the best actor he's ever worked with.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That's General Zod. Thank you.
General Zod. Oh, Lord. But yeah, tonight we have Chris Ellencon from New Orleans Paranormal Society joining us. He is actually on location at the Myrtles Plantation in Louisiana, one of the most haunted plantations that they have over there. And he's over there with the Kling brothers, Chip Coffey, and Kevin Betzer from Deep South Paranormal. And Kevin is supposed to join us as well on air tonight.
Nice.
So they're gonna talk with us, and they got a lot of things going on, and so that's our show for tonight. So it should be interesting.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I got into a pretty good discussion with David Roundtree last Tuesday. He graciously stepped in as guest for our Terrify Radio because our guest backed out. And, man, he's got a really cool book coming out and a movie based on the book. Him and a co-author wrote Devil USA. And it's based on a true demonic case. And so I'm excited for him. You know, we didn't talk scientific most of the show. We just kind of, I saw another side of David I haven't seen. I've seen in person, but not on radio. So we had a blast. So
nice.
I want to see someone put out a paranormal book or movie or something and say, based on nothing that ever happened.
Well, that would it's already being done. That's paranormal activity.
Yeah, but they don't actually say that, though. We
I know, but that's what it is.
No, but I want to see them say it. I want to see, you know, when I go to, like, the movie or watch the DVD, I want to see it say, based on nothing that ever happened.
That would be good.
They say based on true events or based on, you know, real life or inspired by true events. And, of course, really, for scientifically, there's no way to be able to, you know, disprove that. But I want to see a Hollywood movie come out and say, based on shit we made up in our minds.
Exactly.
I would actually pay money to go see that. I was actually yesterday afternoon. I did something I've never done before. I went to see three movies in a row, which was very cool. I saw the Lone Survivor movie, which was good. I saw the movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix, and I saw Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, cool.
But I have to say, I got to get a little on a rant here. For anybody that works in the movie theaters, and most of them I've encountered have all been great. I get there yesterday. I bought my ticket for the first showing. I bought my tickets yesterday for the first showing at around like 11:30, and the first showing wasn't until 1:25. So I get to the movie theater, you know, with about, you know, 10 minutes to spare before it starts, and there's four long lines, so of course I get in the shortest. I was in that line for 20 minutes, and I moved maybe 5 feet. And the guy working there was just lollygagging around, acting like there was only like 8 people in line. Oh, I was so mad.
Yeah.
Well, let me check who this caller is.
All righty. While you're doing that, just so you know, on the URN Radio Network, we have shows Monday through Thursday, 8 p.m. Central Time to 10 p.m. Central Time every night. So check us out. And like I said, you can follow us on Facebook. And that's pretty much it as far as the promotions that I have. I haven't been paranormal investigating in several weeks, so I'm kind of itching to go do that again.
Yeah, I'm the same, man. We haven't been doing anything paranormal-wise since August, I think.
But yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Mostly just the car situation, so once that gets figured out, then we'll be back at it again.
Yeah. All right. Well, I believe we have our guest on the show. Chris, are you with us?
Yeah, we're here.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, nothing much. We just left the Myrtle Plantation, and we're on our way back to New Orleans.
Nice.
Yeah, I got Kevin here with me. Kevin, you want to say hi?
What's up?
Hey, what's up, Kevin?
Not much, brother.
So, Chris, what you been up to, man, since we talked last?
Oh, what haven't I been up to? When's the last time we talked?
It's been several months, man, since we've had you on the show.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, man, you know, we've done some incredible. We did 2013, we did like almost 40 investigations. Andrew Jackson was one of the investigations. Herbert Orleans was one. We ran into a basement in New Orleans that we investigated several times that had paranormal activity each time, same spirit, same voice. We ran into a demonic case in Springfield, Louisiana, where we witnessed people being scratched, our REM pods and K2 meters and all our devices going off when we pray. Just exploding, you know, just constant paranormal investigating, constant testing new equipment, and constantly being bashed by other groups. So,
that's
so
awesome.
Fair spot law, you know, everyone give me a wanted poster up.
Cool, man. So, you were telling me earlier, were you at the Myrtles Plantation, or are you headed there?
We were at the Myrtles Plantation. Clint's brothers and Chip Coffee were there, and Kevin and Chip were really good friends. Chip invited us out. We came out there and hung out with Chip for a little while and talked, and talked to some other investigators there. Talked to one of the brothers, and you know, just hung out and had a good talk.
Oh, sweet, man. Yeah, that's one place I've never been to in Louisiana. That's like on my bucket list, the place to go is the Myrtles.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful plantation, you know. Yeah, man, I mean, they're adding new log cabins. They just added, like, what, 4 or 5 new log cabins?
Yeah, they did. It's nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. You know, they're adding new stuff. They're fixing it up. They're renovating. And they were telling us that they've been renovating the last few weeks. And you know what? We ran into this caretaker. And Chip said this earlier, and I agree. And we're not being racist or prejudiced or anything, but it's a cultural thing. Black people don't mess with ghosts, okay? That's just, everybody knows that, all right?
Yeah.
And this guy, he's the black guy. He was the overnight manager caretaker. And he was telling us the stories. He hasn't been working there long. But he would see like a little kid running around a tree with a red sweater, and what else did he say, Kevin?
He said that he went out there, he looked a couple of times, and he just saw the kid running around, playing around the tree, and he knew it was like after hours, so it wasn't like anybody was there for a tour or anything, and he went out there a couple of times, and then he went out for the last time, and he said it just, like, disappeared. It was gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things up in there that happened.
Another story about a kid went up in there provoking one of the spirits. He come out, his mom had to bring him out of there. He was getting scratched on the neck.
Remember
that? Yeah. Kid went up in there messing with the... I think we could talk about it because it's already out there. Ghost Adventures... on the episode there in November. They should be airing their new season. They were talking about that, too. Yeah, the Myrtles is just getting bigger.
Yeah, you know, and you know, Louisiana as a state, you guys have a lot of historical places over there. I mean, that state is full of history.
Oh, yeah. Kevin's going to be joining my team as a guest on Investigation Tuesday night. We're investigating Woodland Plantation. This is a plantation down in Buras, Louisiana, about 45 minutes outside New Orleans. And I don't have my notes in front of me for the history of it, but it used to have slave quarters there. One of the hurricane caves took away all the slave quarters. But I do have an interesting story about this place. Now, the owner bought the place in 1997. He's one of those country boys, you know, kind of burly, straight up stern, straight up guy, okay? And somebody you wouldn't want to mess with, you know? Not that he's big or anything, just you wouldn't want to mess with him, all right? Well, he bought the place. It was ran down, torn apart. So he dumped a lot of money into it in 1997 when he bought it, and he was getting paranormal activity. And he's a skeptic. He don't believe in ghosts. He never even thinks about that type of thing. He just likes to fish and hunt, you know? So one night his TV falls over, all right, crashes, and he goes and gets his shotgun, and it stands in the middle of the floor in the plantation, cocks his shotgun, and says, "If there's spirits, I don't give a shit what is here." if you don't stop doing what you're doing, I will burn this MF-er down and rebuild a whole new one. He never had a paranormal experience ever since. Like, whatever was going on, stop. But other people have, a lot of other people have had a lot of paranormal experience.
Cool, man. Well, that's badass.
What about y'all? Y'all been out there and y'all been investigating at all?
No,
no, no, no, place that I've wanted to go to.
Yeah, you know, myself, it was kind of interesting because, sorry, I got distracted. I'm trying to do the radio show and watch the Seattle 49ers game at the same time.
Who's winning?
Seattle's winning 20-17 with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, but they just fumbled at the goal line.
Oh. They can't fly with a broken wing.
Well, what's interesting, my team kind of, we took a leave of absence. I had a lot of drama pan out. You know how those things go in the paranormal community. So my team's now a lot smaller, and we decided to just take a break from being in the public view of the paranormal, pull our website down and all that, just to kind of escape, you know, and do some minor investigating without anybody knowing, you know, what the hell we're up to, you know? And it's funny because we've had such a great reputation with everything pulled down off the internet. I still have clients call. It's crazy how they still get a hold of me. And I had a case of a family having some problems in their home. They called me the night before Thanksgiving, so we had to head out to Nacogdoches to help this family. And we got that case wrapped up. And then right before Christmas, maybe a week before Christmas, I had another client call me. And it was a possession case. Well, at first we thought it was, we thought it was the worst of the worst. And I reached out to some of my friends in the paranormal field, and it even went as far as one of the friends I reached out to John Zaffis to get his opinion on it. And but what it ended up being after we got going, the girl is actually psychic. Little girl is 12 years old, and she has the ability to channel. And what she was channeling was Native Americans. Because, it was this, and I started talking to some people. What was interesting, I talked to some demonologists and whatnot that deal with, you know, the worst case scenarios. And I found out through a shaman that Native Americans, if they get, you know, they can actually take over a body. And because, you know, they're very spiritual individuals and whatnot. And when they do, the signature of the possession or the channeling per se is it also resembles a demonic possession, but it's not.
Yeah.
And what was interesting, we were talking to the client about that and on the phone, and her daughter was in the background, and this was an ongoing thing all night. They had a minister over there, and which he had no knowledge of how to handle these cases. So I was talking to an actual bishop in the Catholic Church and trying to give him some things not to do in case it was a demonic possession, you know, because those things are rare, but you never know nowadays. And, as we were talking to the client, and we were talking about the Native Americans, and because we found out that her land was Native American land, and one of the people that started the town actually took the land away from the Native Americans and split it up and sold it into lots for houses. And but we were talking about all that and saying that, you know, Native Americans probably, you know, if it is that case, they need some kind of gift or recognition. And as we were saying that, the girl started throwing up like she was purging, right? Like
yeah.
something released her. And ever since she threw up that night while we were on the phone, they've had no more activity.
Wow. You know, that's interesting because I've had an experience with a Native American spirit, and it wasn't pleasant. Jeremy from Ghost Quest Paranormal, it punched him right in the face. We got that up on our YouTube channel. Gave him a black eye. And, you know, what really worked with that case was sage. Because that's what Native American used back then. You know, they used sage to cleanse themselves and cleanse a lot of things. So I believe that the Native American spirit that we were dealing with reacted to the sage, because right after we cleansed the house, you could feel an immediate difference. And then a couple of mornings later, the client gets up at like 6 a.m. getting ready for work, and he hears a drum beat, like a drum outside. And he gets up, he looks outside, and it stops. He sits back down and starts up again. So from just my experience, I've never had that kind of case, you know, where Native American, Native American did that,
Yeah, and you know, what was crazy about this case is when she was first telling me, she was all upset, and they had six grown men holding this girl down. I mean, that's how much strength she had, and she was talking in a different language, which we found out later it was Native American that she was speaking. It wasn't Latin or any of those other things that come along with the demonic case. And, you know, because she was kind of scaring me from what she was telling me the daughter was doing. She was contorting and bending her right back, and she would throw people across the room, and objects would move in the room. And I was just like, damn, is this a Hollywood movie or what? You know, this is some crazy stuff. And, but yeah, that's what it was. It was a Native American. I had a shaman talk to her and give her some tips on how to cleanse the house and protect the land using, you know, Native American techniques. And since then, nothing. Zilch. Case.
That's amazing. That is something else right there. Well, it looks like you've been busy.
You know, even when I'm trying to take a little sabbatical vacation, I end up having to help someone. So it is what it is. God has said, hey, you can't take a break. You're always going to be doing something paranormal.
Yeah, you know, I know what it feels like to be exhausted and burnt out to almost to the point of, you know, questioning yourself, like, you know, what am I doing? But taking a break, going on a sabbatical, doing that, that's good because, you want to help people, you want to do paranormal, but you're not taking care of yourself. You can't help anybody, you know? So those things are necessary, you know?
Yeah, you know, you get in the mix, and, you know, I've been doing this for damn near almost 5 years, and you do conferences, and you put on conferences, you do public investigations, you go to all these historical places, and you got 15 million clients calling you. You know, it gets kind of overwhelming at times, and it's just kind of cool that we've done that, and we're just doing cemeteries and stuff now.
Yeah, you know, I'll sit here and say, yeah, we did 40 investigations last year, yada, 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 and everything, but that comes like a toll, you know, that's a big toll to take, you know, it just takes a toll.
Uh-oh. Y'all there?
I'm here.
I said, Kevin, what you been up to, man?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm just, we actually had an investigation at the Gemini not too long ago.
in New Orleans downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And the manager over there had called me up because he said he had gotten scratched. And he asked us to come down there. And we did that, and we're about to go back. Actually, not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, we're going to follow up on it and see what we can get.
Yeah, we got a trailer up that we did of that investigation. And a pretty cool trailer. It talks about the fires in 1973. It was a homosexual speakeasy. And somebody got upset and set it on fire and killed.
He killed like 33 people inside.
Yeah, 33 people inside. And, you know, if you go watch our trailer, we got, you know, it's pretty graphic. We got the pictures up, you know.
We actually have the actual newscast that was broadcasted back then.
Yeah. You know, and we had a pretty good dead night. We actually came across some pretty profound evidence. Now, we didn't come across any of the people that died in that fire. We came across people who had died there from cholera fever back in the 1800s, because that building goes way back to like the 1860s, you know, before then. And it was a woman who died there because the manager, Jonathan, went into the third floor, which is nothing up there, it's completely abandoned. It looks like a haunted place. And he went up to the attic part and started pulling things up because it was interesting. He found an old gun from the Civil War.
Found some, yeah, like old bottles.
Old bottles from the 1860s, newspaper clippings, part of a uniform.
Yeah, old Civil War uniform.
An old Civil War uniform and bones. They started pulling out bones. So he actually called the local university, which is Tulane, and they sent out some archaeologists, and they started digging stuff up. Well, next thing you know, he gets scratched. And when we were talking to him, I was like, well, don't you think it's kind of odd that after you start digging this stuff up, you get scratched? And he was like, wow, I didn't realize that.
Right.
And, we started using an experimental piece of equipment called the Echovox. And we got some tremendous results. We actually lost the footage, or the footage disappeared, because when I uploaded the SD card on my computer, the file was there, other files was there, but the video wasn't. Only that part, that section, we actually communicated with a woman who told her she died of cholera fever.
Yeah.
And told her she scratched a manager.
Right.
She did say she liked me, you know.
She actually promised not to scratch him anymore.
Yeah. I was like, you know you can't go around scratching people, right? And you hear, like, I know. And I was like, you promise you won't scratch him anymore? And it comes through the echo box and says, I promise. You know, and we were blown away. You know, by this. And we're going back, and we should have a full video within the end of the month.
Nice. Sweet.
What exactly is the Echo Box?
The Echo Box is actually an app by a guy who developed software through Google Market named Danny Bigbeard. That's not his real name. It's Facebook
like
name.
Profile or something like
profile.
That.
Profile. Danny Bigbeard, he's a great guy. It's actually an app that you can get on through the Google Market, okay? And I know apps are controversial. I know, like, the Ghost Radar. We know the Ghost Radar is crap. You know, we know that, you know. But he put out this app amongst some other ones. I was skeptical of it, but one of my investigators said, Chris, you got to try it. He hounded me for 2 months to try this thing. I finally opened my mind up a little bit and tried it, and I started getting results. Now, I started doing different experiments, and these experiments were turning out to be phenomenal.
We just recently did one at a graveyard called Holt Cemetery down in New Orleans.
Yeah, and we walked in there, and we have this on YouTube, by the way. I never said the word Christmas. So we can put that out as taking our words and repeating it.
It was actually Christmas Eve. We went out there to experiment with the Echo Box.
It was so cold.
Yeah, it was cold that night.
And go ahead and tell them what happened, man.
And we out there and we asked, we like, well, the holiday is coming up. Can you tell us what holiday is coming up? And yeah, and we were like, what comes after Mary? And I mean, not even that long after, you can clearly hear it say Christmas. And you can, you know, you can watch this on our YouTube. We actually put it up. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to go ahead and put my name on that and say that's paranormal. Because not once the entire time that app was running or at all did I say the word Christmas. I never said, I made sure of it. And Kevin didn't either. We did not say Christmas.
Not at all.
And that popped up. I mean, it blew my mind away. So I put my team's name on the Echo Box now.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, what it does is it has different settings, different speed settings on there. It's not a word generator, it's a sound generator. So what it does is it takes different sounds, and the spirits can use it to manipulate, to make words.
Like a spirit box.
It's not a spirit box, but, you know, say Cosmic, they can manipulate content, they can manipulate it.
It's not radio frequency, it's more of like, generates its own noise.
It generates its own noise, and you can talk into it, and they can, you know, use those words to talk back to you, you know. But it works, man. That shit works.
Yeah, there's actually a computer program called EVP Maker that works the same way. And you can put it on a laptop and do the same thing. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It is. You know, I don't know. Danny, he's kind of brilliant, man. I've had some talks with him because when this happened, I was like, I got to get to the bottom of this, you know. And I messaged him on Facebook, and he got right back to me, man. And, you know, we've been talking back and forth. And, you know, what he does, he's making sense what he's doing, you know. And I commend him and other people that are doing whatever they can to push the field forward. You know,
venture out, you know, experiment.
You know, because that's what we're trying to do, you know. We're trying to invent the light bulb, you know what I'm saying? Which we're trying to prove the existence of human spirits. And these people that are taking these chances, some of them might end up, you know, making the wrong decision or, you know, making a bad piece of equipment that doesn't work, you know, and that's okay. At least you tried, you know what I'm saying? Go for it. I commend
them
for that. I really admire
him
for that.
Yeah, you know, I think the field's at the point now that, you know, the real in-depth investigator, researcher that, you know, is in it for the right reasons, those guys and gals, you know, doing experiments and taking chances on trying new things, that's how you're going to advance the field, you know? Instead of just doing the same old every time, you know, because I kind of reached that point in my paranormal career, I guess you could say, is I'm to the point now I just want to do experiments. I want to try to prove or disprove different theories that, you know, over the years paranormal investigators have said this, that, or another. Well, they say it, but they don't back it up with proof. You know, with experimental proof. So, you know, that's my stage now, is doing some experiments.
Yeah. And I agree to you 100%. You know, sometimes, like some of the videos that I put out there, my group, you know, puts out there, you know, it might be ugly, you know. Some of it might be kind of controversial, but, you know, as a group, as long as your heart's in the right place, you know, it's okay to go in there and do what you can. You know, if your heart's in the right place, it's okay to mess up. It's okay for somebody to go, well, you should have done it, especially if you're a new group. You know, and I heard a radio show one time, and this woman was on there, and she was talking about all these new people that are trying to do this. She goes, I hope a demon rips their face off. And I was like,
what?
Yeah, dude,
that's
seriously
crazy.
She was like, I hope, you know, it was on that Australian radio show, Evan, whatever, Jensen or whatever, dude. And he was just like, she was talking, and she's like, all these new people that come in here because they watch these shows or anything. And I was just like, what a horrible person to say that, you know? And I was like, you know what, if you're new out there, if you're listening, and you've watched a TV show, and you're interested in paranormal, you know, and you're truly passionate about it, go for it. Don't let nothing stop you. Do what makes you happy. Pursuing the paranormal is something that you want to do. Don't let nobody tell you different. You go do it, because that's what happened with my team. when I started out, a lot of people tell me that I was crazy, that it wouldn't work out, you know, that I'm wasting my time. And all I did was stick my middle finger up at them, and I went on and did what I did. Look where we're at now, you know, so.
Oh, yeah, man. That, you know, that's what you got to do nowadays. And, you know, I just, it's so, I just wish the people out there that are always criticizing and this, that, and other and throwing out all those negative vibes to people out there in the field, if they would take a little bit of that energy that they're using to criticize others and put it towards research in the field, we would be a lot more further along in knowledge about what's going on.
Yeah. I'm not gonna say any names. I'm gonna talk about something kind of controversial that really has me hot and bothered right now. And I'm gonna go on a little rant for a second. There's a radio show in New Orleans. All right, I'm not gonna say their name, but they came on last week or a week ago, and they started talking about teams that use the spirit box, and they know. I know they know that my team uses the spirit box a lot. You know what? If you don't like the spirit box, if you don't believe it works, that's fine. If you believe everything I put out there in the spirit box is bullshit, then that's fine, okay? But don't bash me for it. You know what I mean? And they didn't call me out by name, but they went on to say fake groups are using the spirit box, all right, to form evidence because they can't put up enough effort to go out there and produce real paranormal evidence. They used the words. They went on a big rant saying that we are setting the field back by 10 years because we're using a broken radio, all right? And he went on to talk about some of the history. He read from a little piece of paper, went on about the history about Frank's box and all that. And you know what, man? I was so disgusted and so insulted by somebody sitting here talking like that when my opinion is that you're the problem.
He's like sitting there bashing you, dude.
Yeah, just bashing the hell out of you. You know, and not me. Every team, ghost adventurers that use the spirit box, that put evidence out there. I'm sure you guys, you got that, you know, your friend has the spirit box in and says, I will skin you alive. You know, all these teams that have pushed paranormal evidence out there, we're all fake, all right? We're all setting the field back 10 years because we're using a radio. Hey, you know what, dude?
Well, what the hell do they use?
They catch an EVP.
That's it?
They do EVPs. I think my 13-year-old niece caught an EVP last week, too. You know? But, hey, dude, you know what I'm saying? I mean, for real, everybody gets an EVP. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but the spirits are out there all the time. They're trying to communicate.
They need to try new things. That's what it sounds
like. And that's what it is. It's just ridiculous that you're going to sit there and say all these horrible things about groups that are trying to try different things and use, you know, different equipment, and you're coming out here and you're calling us fake groups, you know, it's not going to be a pretty sight when I see you face to face and I tell you how I feel, you know, and it's not right.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that comes from people that hear one thing and then, you know, nobody can disprove it. That's the thing. But everybody's like, oh, yeah, well, we ran an experiment and we disproved it, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I've offered up that I was like, you know what? If you're saying that it's just pieces of audio and you've been able to disprove it, then I will sit with you one day and you find exactly in real time every piece of audio that I captured to make that EVP. And I'll turn off my boxes for good, and I'll walk away from it all. And I'm still using my ghost box, so.
And same here with that. You know what? But guess what? It's one thing when he also said that I'm on the air right now. But they go, we're going to open up the show tonight, and we're going to use our radio station as a ghost box. So if there's any ghost out there, come and talk to us. He's like, you can take up the whole hour. You can use the whole 1800 watt and take up the whole hour. And I was like, are these guys serious right now?
Wow.
Are these serious nice. Right now? I mean, they're using sarcasm to belittle us because they're making themselves like idiots. You know, because
yeah.
They got the concept of the spirit box, okay? And he was like, they say my voice is being manipulated. And he gets mad. Oh. He goes, nobody's manipulating me right now. And I'm like, you idiot. Nobody's, there's not a ghost there physically manipulating a person on the radio. They take the voices and the frequencies and manipulate that to form words. And
Right.
That's not even that. That's some aerial weapons. But what about the voices that actually come through for over 50 radio stations? You know what I mean? Like one long voice. Like y'all heard, you remember our EVPs that I gave y'all, like the Damien with the long growl and the spare fox?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I still sit with that one today. You know, you can hear the white noise, too, and you can hear it flipping through the channels, and you can hear that voice coming through. You know, that's paranormal, and that's not no radio D shit. You can't tell me when I go out to the dueling tree and I hear the spirit box spit out the N-word and the F-word constantly that that's coming from a radio DJ. But
I
respect your opinion that if you think it's bullshit, that's great, that's fine. But don't insult me because I disagree with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's where I have a problem with it.
And not only that, I mean, more often than not, the EVP you get from Ghostbox, they speak kind of like a broken English. It's not like a full-on sentence per se. It's like you can make out what they're trying to say, but it's like the English is a little bit different, and people don't talk like that on the radio, you know?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I've got full sentences. I've got a little girl coming through saying hello. I got a little girl saying princess. I've got a little girl saying her name, which is Brianna, and you can sit there and say, oh, well, there's a singer out there called Rihanna. You can even say that. But how come I got an actual EVP of a digital reporter saying Brianna two different times?
Right.
Each time I'm asking her name. You know what I mean? I mean, just come on, dude. Look at the evidence. You know?
And not only that,
I think people are just...
One of my favorite EVPs that I got with the Ghostbox, I went to this really old cemetery, and I was just kind of, you know, sitting down on this bench, and I was like, what are y'all doing out here? And the response was like within a second, they're like, we're dead. I was like, dude, this is what I'm talking about.
You say, oh, we're dead. What do you think you're doing out here?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
yeah,
I mean,
that's
how many
funny
times have you heard we're dead on the radio, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but when I sit there and say, you know, tell me, you know, even something as simple, let's go and say, tell me your name or tell me my name, and they say my name, or they answer a direct question, you might be able to say it's a coincidence, but when that happens so many times, I'm sorry, with the chance, I got a better chance of getting struck by lightning right after I win the lottery for that to happen, you know?
Yeah, and then being struck by a meteorite, you know?
Yeah, and then surviving it, you know?
right.
Oh, man. I got better chances of that happening than, you know what I'm saying, than it going through the station so fast to answer a direct question of mine to be a coincidence. You can't just get out of here with that, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's just like the experiments that Martin and I have done in the past. I like somebody to disprove that because I don't see how Martin sitting in Dallas turning his ghost box on and without knowing anything about where my team's going can find out through the ghost box the name of the state, name of the town, and the name of the location we're at through the ghost box.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
We set up an experiment that night, and I wanted to see, because I know people call me crazy for this, but I do sessions at the house all the time, you know, just kind of
crazy.
Like, Frank Sumption does it, and he posts a lot of weird stuff, and, I do it all the time, but, and so I came up with this idea, and I told these guys, and I was like, hey, I was like, when you get to the location, I was like, don't tell me where you're going tonight, but when y'all get there, call me and let me know that you guys have y'all's ghost box on, and I'll see if my ghost box will talk to yours and let me know where you're at. Sure enough, man, I was able to tell them everything. I was able to tell them everything. And we were even able to send, like real simple messages back and forth. Dude, it was a crazy night.
Yeah, definitely. Kevin and I are just on the interstate right now. We're looking over to our left. We're seeing a killer orange blue moon here, man. It's just,
yeah, it's orange.
It's beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, come on out. Yeah.
with the Ghost Box, man, I challenge that team to come and try to debunk some of the stuff. I mean, I've even done it where I had the Ghost Box running and just randomly reach in, partner of mine reach in his pocket and grab a coin, and before he pulls it out of his pocket, in the pitch of dollars it says, call it in the air, and we toss it up in the air, let it land, and then the Ghost Box says, head. We turn on the flashlight, try to find the coin, and turn up its fucking head. And then we turn the flashlight off, and then we ask what year is on the coin, and it said 1982. And we turn the flashlight back on because we didn't know what it was, you know. And it was 1982. So you tell me how that is somebody other than a spirit talking to that box, because, you know, there are skeptics out there that say we as paranormal investigators, we can influence devices with our mind, right? Well, in that case, neither one of us, you know, it's a 50-50 shot when you call heads or tails what it's going to land on. So your mind really can't influence that. And then on top of that, if you don't know what the year is on the coin, because it could be any year, then how in the hell could you influence that result, you know?
Yep.
And prove it, too. If those guys are out there saying that we can manipulate our devices with our minds, let's prove it. Come on, guys. If you're going to push a theory out there, won't you do everything you can to prove it? You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Because I would love to know that I'm doing that. If I'm doing that, that's awesome, you know?
Fucking awesome shit.
That's still paranormal. We don't know about it.
Here's something that I've always wondered is that, you know, we're all out in the field, you know, recording and assuming that we're recording spirit, right? Well, the thing is that every person on the face of the earth carries with them a spirit. So is it possible to be recording your own self at a location, you know? And I don't know. Just sometimes I wonder if, like, you know, we're not only recording spirit, but we're also recording maybe what somebody else is thinking or something like that. But I just have no way to be able to prove that in one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many crazy theories out there, you know, and it's hard to keep up with them all, you know. It seems like every time I run into a different person, I get a different theory about the paranormal. And,
you know what
really upsets me is when they say it's facts. You ever run across an investigator and he tells you a theory about the paranormal, his theory, but he comes at you like it's a fact? Don't you just hate that? I mean, that's why I always say this is my opinion, this is my theory, okay, and then I say what it is. You know, but I had a guy the other day talk about orbs. Orbs aren't real. He's like, orbs aren't real. Orbs are people and their energy and their this and that. And I'm like, that's an interesting theory, you know. And he's not saying it's a theory. He's talking like it's a fact. That could be confusing to people, you know.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you studied it for a couple of years, makes it true. No.
Yeah, I had a guy actually attack me on Facebook over this whole thing. He said that it is impossible to remove a residual haunting from a location. And so I, you know, just being the person I am, I asked him, you know, how do you know that this is a fact? And then so he started mouthing off all these books that he supposedly read. And I was like, you know, first off, you don't even know if you can remove any type of spirit from a location, much less a residual haunting. There are chances that you could remove both, but we don't know, you know. And this dude completely bashed me on Facebook over the whole thing, and he just ended up looking like an idiot because what he was saying was that he was speaking like absolute truth, but in reality, I mean, he just had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah, just put him on the douchebag list, all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we can't even prove that we're actually communicating with spirits. I mean, when you go down to the actual facts of what we're doing, we are asking questions and we're getting responses. That's a fact. You know, that's our core right there. I'm not lying to you about that. I actually have audio equipment that records it. know. We don't know if we're talking to aliens. We don't know if we're talking to spirits. We don't know if we're developing this ourselves. We don't know any of this stuff, you know. We got a good guess, and, you know, I got my theories, but there's no actual fact of what we're actually doing, because we don't
know.
And that's how set back we are on the whole paranormal field, you know. It's just one day, hopefully before we croak, then we'll figure all this out. But there's a guy that I know, he's a friend of mine, his name's, he does the Paranormal Underground magazine and the show. Great guy, you know, but he says this, and I stole this from him, and I told him I stole it from him. He said, all experts are dead, because none of us are really going to know until we die, you know, and I believe
exactly.
That 100%, you know, and he's
I
right
agree
about
with that.
All experts are dead. Until we prove it, all experts are dead.
Well, we have a caller on the line. This is, he says Chris knows him. This is Onyx, and he wanted to talk about, we were saying earlier about influencing our environment when we investigate.
Oh, yes, Brian's a good friend of mine. He actually is the host of Project Paranormal Radio.
Nice.
Cool, he's on now. Onyx, you there?
Yeah, hey, Chris. What's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. Just getting back from the Myrtles.
I hear you. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm actually a member of Chris's team, PSNO, and Chris and I had a discussion the other night along the lines, same lines as far as, like, influencing the devices. I don't think that they can be influenced mentally, as you guys have mentioned. Do I believe that certain devices can be manipulated and influenced? Yeah, that's not to say that all teams are doing it, but I do believe that I'm sure someone has figured out a way to, you know, as far as faking evidence and influencing these devices, I'm sure it can be done.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
You know, anything that's electronical, you know, and I joke with Chris, I told him, I said, you never know, man, maybe you're actually talking to the crackhead down the road with the metal grill in his mouth. You're coming through interference.
Yeah.
Talk about my cousin Billy like that, all right?
I missed that. I'm sorry.
But yeah.
I'm one of Chris's partners in crime. I guess his Jiminy Cricket, if you will.
Yeah, we stay in trouble. It's funny.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. And, you know, Martin can talk about an EVP he got one time when, remember when you were talking about that shooting you were around? Martin?
Wait, which one? I was actually going on a double date, and then, you know, we saw these cop cars, so naturally we wanted to go check it out. And sure enough, man, I was probably about 100 yards away from a shooting, and I was like, holy crap. So anyways, I had my recorder on me, and I recorded, and it was probably like 1 or 2 weeks before I got, you know, I was at home, and I was like, oh, I'm going to listen to this recorder. And so I got this EVP that said, I shot Jessica, and I was like, what? I was like, okay, anyways, you know, so I started looking up this shooting, and sure enough, this guy, he was dating this chick, and then he saw this chick out at a restaurant with some other guy, shot both of them to death, and he took off, and he called the cops and told the cops that he was not going to be taken alive, and that's pretty much what started the chase. And so they shot this dude all up and shot his car all up, and he ended up being a cop. And his girlfriend's name was Jessica. So I thought it was like the weirdest thing in the world.
Well, the thing was, you discovered that the guy didn't die. He was in the hospital the next day, but you captured that EVP.
Yeah.
Well,
that's interesting.
It makes you question if your aura is you know, is able to produce an EVP either from the future or, you know,
Yeah, then,
there's so many questions You know, and Chris can tell you, I'm a skeptic. I'm not a full-blown skeptic, but, you know, let's just say that I know it exists, but I haven't seen it or it hasn't been proven to me yet. Yeah, and,
right,
that, and that's
right.
kind of what I want. That's what kind of what drives me to seek it out. But you know, even EVPs, anything you get aside from a full blown one on one conversation, filmed, recorded in any manner you can with a physical entity, you know, a skeptic's going to rip it apart. Even EVPs, excuse me, because you know you can be walking and you can have your recorder. And say if you have a zipper, this is just an example, on your jacket, and you unzip that zipper, that's going to come across on the EVP. Your fabric rubbing, your hand rubbing on your pants, your clothes, you know, anything like that is going to produce that kind of sound. Even if someone in, on your team is unknowingly whispering something in the background,
yep.
So you know your skeptics are gonna rip those things apart every time.
Yep, yep,
and,
I agree.
And until, you know, it's like Chris and I talked so many times, until the technology actually reaches the stage where you can see without a shadow of a doubt the physical embodiment of a spirit, you're going to have doubters. You're going to have people ripping it all apart.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, a question I have... The question I have for you guys, Chris, what's your take on shadow figures?
I've seen one. you know what?
Now we're not,
about,
we're not talking about driving through the ghetto, Chris.
you know, shut up, Ryan. no, one time I was investigating a trailer that was 50 yards from a graveyard. And I was at the edge of the graveyard on the road, and I was playing with my spear box. I didn't have it. I was trying to get it right. And I look up, and I see a shadow, and it was floating, like going really, like you know how the Roadrunner looked, the coyote
yeah.
the Roadrunner? It was looked just like him, but just the top part, blowing across. And,
what's going on?
Somebody all right? Somebody okay? Somebody start wrestling their phone? But, it was just moving across. Now, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say what a shadow person is. You know, I don't know. All right? I've seen one. I know John has seen one.
I've seen one as well.
Kevin's seen one. You know, I don't know what they are. I don't know.
My problem is I see things out of the corner of my eye, and it just leaves me questioning whether I actually saw it or not. In fact, Chris, I haven't had a chance to speak to you, but the other night, I swear someone was standing in my hallway, and when I looked, there was no one there. But
yeah.
You know, again, to me, that's still not evidence. You know, in my mind, to me, that's you know, I'm
well,
left questioning.
Sorry,
okay, is
that
really?
Up,
was that just my mind playing tricks on me, or?
Yeah, this wasn't out the corner of my eye. This is straight. Like, I followed this thing from behind and watched it shoot across the cemetery and disappear. And I was like, holy shit, you know? You know, it was exciting for me. But, yeah, I've seen things out the corner of my eyes. I mean, I've had that happen at my house. I could watch a scary movie at my house and get paranoid and see the corner of my eyes. You'd be surprised what the mind can do to you. When you have a certain endorphin or a certain chemical in the brain,
right.
You know, you'd be really surprised. You might even be able to see full body apparition and just be ahead.
Yeah, that's the rationale that I'm left with, you know, when it happens with me. I don't know if it's the same for you guys. But, you know, I'm left asking myself and wondering, okay, was that just my eyes, you know, from the light from the television or the light from the room just, you know, making a figure in the corner of my eye, or was that something actual there?
Right.
And
well,
see,
you know,
and see,
Well,
I envy the ones like Chris. You know, I envy you guys who have actually seen something full frontal. No denying. Hey, that's something from the other side, and that's what I want. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it is medically with our eyes and our sight, the corner of our eyes actually have a different spectrum of light that come in, which is the UV.
That's right.
And you can actually pick up something in a different spectrum of light, but that doesn't necessarily rule out.
That's due to the cones and the rods. So yeah, you know, I'm part of Chris's team, but I'm more of the cryptid. I'm more of the Sasquatch hunting, you know, out at night. And what you're saying relates greatly to that, because at night, when you're trying to look dead on at something, you can't really see it. But if you look off to the side, you can see it perfectly.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same philosophy and rationale that I give, you know, when I'm here in the house and I see things out the corner of my eye. I'm like, okay, was that just, you know, a trick of light or my eyes trying to adjust?
Yeah. You know, I've talked to some people that, because it's a controversial subject when it comes to shadow people. A lot of theorists say that it's, you know, not necessarily a spirit, that it's some kind of entity from another dimension, which can go way out there if you talk to people, you know. But the thing that's interesting about the shadow figures is, you know, when you're in a dark room, no light, and it's dark, when you see a shadow figure, it's actually darker than its environment.
Yeah, that's the rumors that I hear.
Yeah, so that means that it's actually solid, and it's absorbing light in order to be, you know, for our eyes to pick it up, it has to absorb light to become that dark. So something's going on.
The color black is a combination of all colors absorbed.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting you're talking about it, because Chris and I have had many discussions. One of our discussions was, you know, so when you guys investigate, do you investigate with flashlights on or just in complete darkness? And if so, why? Because, I mean, in my mind, if a spirit is there, it's going to be there all the time, whether it's daylight, whether it's night, you know, even though we all know that more malicious, even people tend to be more active at night in the cover of darkness.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm like, okay, if I go investigate, you know, should I put a flashlight on and look? Would that help me to see something? Would it hinder me from seeing something? Would total darkness hinder me from seeing something?
Well, the thing to think about is, think about taking a blindfold and covering your eyes, right? When you do that, your other senses are enhanced. Your feel.
Right, that's exactly what Chris...
Yeah.
Right, that's exactly what Chris leaned towards.
Yeah, so being in dark, it helps you, you know, and once your eyes adjust, because, like, when you use a flashlight, when sometimes we have to, you know, even when we're investigating and we try to go total dark, you got to turn on your flashlight, you know, if you're in a location that's pretty ruined down, you don't want to fall through something, you got to turn your light on. But when you turn that light off, your eyes have to readjust.
That's,
you know,
right. But at the same time, at the same time, when you're in completely
dark. Hey, guys,
dark,
I got to switch lines real quick. I'm going to be calling y'all right back, okay?
All right.
Okay. But when you're in complete darkness, that would have the tendency to, I mean, imagine yourself isolated and, you know, and like in prison or whatever, in one of the isolation tanks. When you're in complete darkness, that also opens up your mind to become more active and to create scenarios that may not truly be there.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It's a balancing act, you know, finding that perfect balance. And, you know, what you said earlier about the shadow figures being extra-dimensional, you know, at this point, anything goes. I mean, you know, you can throw anything out there at this point, because we really don't know. We really don't have that evidence. We don't have that proof, you know. So we can't say exactly what any of it is, really. We're just going under the assumption that it's a passed on loved one or it's a passed on spirit. You know, we don't know for certain what it is. It could be something completely malevolent taking on the impression of a loved one or a passed on human to play on our conscience and emotions. To trick us.
If you think about it, to go on with what you're talking about, if you think about it with a paranormal team, right, especially one that's not maybe as experienced or done a lot of investigations, if they go to a haunted location, okay, they know that other teams have been there and they've gathered evidence. In your mind, you already know that there are spirits there. So when you go into that place, how do you know that your mind, knowing that the place is haunted, is creating scenarios that you think
that
you had experienced?
That is so exactly right. And I asked Chris before, I said, well, how much information, you know, do you get from people before you go into a place? Because I believe that all that is suggestive and can influence your outcome. As far as how much do they tell you, how much do you want to find out from them? You know, or do you just want to go in there and see what you can see? I'm more the type with, okay, this person says they're having, all I want to hear from the client is, hey, I'm having some bad experiences. Okay, no problem. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to see what I can, you know, if I come up with the same conclusion. You know, personally, you know, don't give me suggestions. Implant anything in my head regarding the situation. I just want to go in there and see what's going on for myself. Yeah, that's more how I am. You know, and I also think that if you're investigating a location, you don't want to have the client in there with you while you're investigating. For one, a lot of these people, they want their places to be haunted or have spirit activity. So if you're in there and you say, I just heard a voice say Elizabeth. That client, if they truly want their place to be haunted, they're going to turn around 9 times out of 10 and say, yeah, we hear that all the time. It always says Elizabeth. You don't know if that client is telling the truth or if that client just wants to go along with it so that they can go to their friends or whatever and say, my house is haunted. I have a ghost in my house. You don't know the mental state of the client.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whether they want that, whether they're on that egotistical trip, or they want to say, my place has got a ghost in it, my place is haunted. So, you know, that's another thing that leads me towards my opinion of when you investigate a place, I don't think you should bring the client in there with you, walk around with them.
Right.
Because if they truly want their place to be haunted, they're going to lead you. And anything you say, they're going to jump on that bandwagon and agree with and say, yeah, that's happened before. You know?
Oh, yeah.
To me, it's another form of suggestive because I'll be honest with you, man, a lot of these people are really kind of out there. They really, truly want, because they watch these television shows and they think all this is so cool. So they really want the attention and the thrill of their residence or their place being haunted. So, I mean, you really have to be careful doing investigations. I mean, you have to be an investigator. You have to be a shrink. You know, you really have to be a lot of things all at once. Because you never know when someone's going to take you for a ride.
Chris and Kevin, you back?
Yeah, I'm here. Kevin's not here. We had to switch calls. He should be calling back pretty soon.
Okay. Yeah, we were talking about, if you got a paranormal team that, say, is not maybe as experienced in the field and they go to one of these haunted locations that's been investigated numerous times by the team, and they know in their mind that it's haunted, how much do they, when they go in to investigate, how much does their mind take trips on them and they actually think they're experiencing something that may not be happening?
Well, that's a good, I mean, that happens a lot. That happens to me, you know. when an actual paranormal taking place. I remember one time that I was in a paranormal active situation. Paranormal stuff going on around me. I heard a voice. You know, the temperature was changing. You feel the static electricity in the air. Everything. Okay. Well, it was hot. A sweat dripped out from the top of my back, and I guess hit the middle of my back. And I thought something touched me. And I freaked out. So, I mean, yeah, that's true. That's happened. You know, I mean, you gotta really have to psychologically keep yourself in check when you're going on paranormal investigations, you know. And sometimes,
well, Chris,
I think how much
does precognitive knowledge of a location influence the results of the investigation? In other words, it's like what you and I had talked about before. How much do you want to know from your client before you actually go in there, you know, as far as being influenced?
Now, this is coming from me, okay, and I'm not everybody, and this is my personal opinion. It doesn't matter to me too much because I like to take the claims and I like to try and prove or disprove the claims. So I'm not a psychic. I'm not one of the ones that are going in there and saying, okay, don't tell me anything because I'm going to tell you everything that's going on. I'm telling the spirit that's here, and I don't want you to give me any hints. I'm not like that. I feel as if I'm a scientific person coming in to say, okay, you say this door slams. I'm going to prove to you, you know, that it could have been natural on the wind. You know, open that door. Did you open that door and close it at the same time when the other one closed? Or, okay, this is going on, so I'm going to put my EMF meter over here, and I'm going to do a baseline reading, and I'm going to do different experiments here. So I feel like, you know, tell me what's going on. I need to know what's bothering you, what situations that you feel that are affecting you in the house. And I'm going to try this phone for you. If I can't, well, then it might be paranormal.
Well, I mean, you know me, Chris. I'm more the type of I'm more simple than that. It's like, okay, do you think your place is haunted? Yes. Okay. All right. We're going to go in there and see if we can feel anything or pick up anything.
And that's the thing. You know, I've been to some of the most haunted places. I'm going to a haunted place, and people are like, "This place is so haunted, y'all. For the last 50 years, people have had paranormal experiences here." And I've gone in there, and I haven't gotten a single thing. Didn't feel a single thing. Nothing happened. So what happens when you have those clients that say their house is haunted, and you spend 6-7 hours in there, and you don't get a single thing? Are they all of a sudden liars?
No, I don't think so, because I believe it goes back to what you and I spoke about not quite often. You know, it's just like if you go fishing and you drop your reel in the middle of the ocean, expecting to catch one particular type of fish. Just because you're there at that time doesn't mean the spirit is going to be there at that time also.
Yeah. And you know, I like to give the clients the benefit of the doubt. You know, that's what I like to do. Because I want to know how I want to be treated if some crazy stuff's going on in my house. And I bring a group in. I want them to believe me. I want them, you know, I don't want them, if they're going to say, oh, we think you're full of shit, then I'm not going to want you anywhere around me. You know what I'm saying? So I have to give the client the benefit of the doubt, no matter how crazy the story or no matter anything, you know. And that was, we had a case where we were working with another group, and we had crazy, crazy paranormal activity, and the other group, or even a couple, it was my group, thought that the person was lying. You know, and I was like, well, I mean, all right, if the person's lying, the client's lying, then why are we getting all this paranormal activity on our equipment? And they're like, I don't know. And it's like, well, I don't understand why you can't just, like, okay, I believe her because there's paranormal, there's evidence backing her up. You know, and that's just what gets me. People don't give the clients nothing about, you know, I got a bleeding heart, man. You know, and when I look in a client's eyes and they're scared to death and live in their home, that's a serious problem, you know, and I'm coming there to help them with that problem. Whether I myself can personally take care of it or I can go find somebody that can.
You should also be a skeptic to a certain degree.
And I am a skeptic to a certain degree, you know.
I am
a skeptic. I don't believe, you know, I'm not going in there. I'm not even going to sit here and tell you ghosts really even exist, you know. I don't know. I can't prove it to you scientifically. you know, but I can't tell you that I've seen some crazy shit go down. And when I look in somebody's eyes and they tell me they're being scratched and they're being terrorized, and I look in their eyes and my heart says, believe them, I'm going to believe them. I don't care what anybody says.
Especially if you have the paranormal evidence, if you will, to back up, to corroborate that, you know?
I could
see if you didn't have any evidence whatsoever, then that person could make a good case. But if you have the evidence to corroborate what this person is saying, then, you know, obviously something's going on and they're not just, you know, wacko.
We gotta hijack the show. That's okay.
Chris and I run together. We butt heads a lot, but we always want the same goal. Yeah, we just approach it differently.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the sign of a good team is to have people on the team that all have different ideas and approaches to the paranormal field, and that's what makes a good team. You kind of put each other in check, and that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, that's what we have. We got 7 members on the team, and we got 7 different personalities, and we got 7 different people with ideas. And so, good luck. You want to come manage my team for me for a little while? I need a break. That's great. Love it. Love these guys. I love my teammates. I love what we do. You know, we're going to be at Comic-Con this year in New Orleans. We got a panel. We got a table. We love what we're doing, man. You know, I wouldn't trade it for anything else in the world. It's great. You know, we're like a family.
Yeah, that's really good. Now, I'm going to throw this out here because this is kind of the latest controversial thing going on. I guess you could say in the paranormal, but it's more of the crypto world. What's y'all's guys take on Brian Dyer's claim that he has killed the Bigfoot and he's about to tour the United States with it?
Okay, Bigfoot enthusiast. Brian's going to handle this for me, all right? Whatever Brian says, what I say on this matter.
It's fake. Dyer has come out with – this is not his first time at a hoax. He's done it before in the past. And I've seen the image. You know, they show the image of just a face. I've seen the image of the Sasquatch lying there. Supposedly it had an autopsy done, so it's cut on its chest. And Dyer is lying there next to it. However, if you look closely at the image, and I'm the artist for our team. You know, I did our graphics and everything. If you look closely at the image, there's a shadow under and around Dyer's body, and there's none at all under and around the body of the supposed Sasquatch, which leads me to believe that was photoshopped, cut, pasted onto the picture of the supposed Sasquatch. And I don't buy it because looking at it, that's a fake hair. That is costume hair on that Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy it at all. I've looked closely at the picture of the face, the eyes. They don't look right. It looks like they were photoshopped to be closed, like as if it was a mask that had cut out eyes and someone went in and photoshopped it to look make closed eyelids. I don't buy it at all. Anything that comes from Rick Dyer, I call bullshit on it.
Yeah, you know, and I got some red flags too because I'm actually a resident of Texas, and this supposed Squatch was killed outside of San Antonio. Well, here's the deal, everybody out there, if you're not familiar with Texas. We have what we call game wardens over here, and the game wardens actually have more jurisdiction than any police officer in the state of Texas.
That's
now,
right.
Any kind of creature that has been shot, especially when you go public with it, those game wardens will be all over your ass trying to figure out what in the hell you shot or do you have a license to shoot that. So.
That's right.
That's red flag number one. red flag number two, if it was a legit Bigfoot, you know, the cream of the crop, the thing that's going to
be all over every television station. Jeff Meldrum would be involved. Yeah, it's just a hoax for attention and to get their recognition and their name circulating again.
Yeah, and you know, you know how shady our government is. If it was a legit Sasquatch, do you not think that the feds would be involved in getting that body?
Well, I'm gonna make a comment, which is probably open, I mean, it's completely for another show, of course, but the government knows that Sasquatch exists. I have no doubt in my mind. I was told by so many people. Okay. But the issue here is that you got to think of these guys, Dyer and Tom Biscardi. You got to think of these guys as little children. Okay, they want attention so bad, but yet they can't recognize the difference between negative attention and positive attention. It's just attention to them. It's all attention. Whether their name's out there in a negative light, it doesn't matter. Their name is circulating. Just like, I mean, look at what Miley Cyrus just did. You know. Now everybody knows her. Everybody's talking about her. You know, people are going to buy her albums just because of the crap she pulled. You know, they don't.
How do you feel about Miley?
He's a big Miley fan. But you know what I'm saying, though, Chris. You know, it's whether it's positive publicity or negative publicity, it doesn't matter as long as your name is out there circulating. And that's what it boils down to with these jerks who are ruining everything. For the ones who are really out there, you know, humping it and trying to prove the existence of these creatures.
I think I'm going to build a glass full-size box, right? And I'm going to tour the countryside and say that I have captured the first real ghost.
Put my name on that right on the side, okay?
Well, when people come out, they say, well, where is it? And I say, it's right there in the box. You can't see it. It's a ghost.
Yep. So far, no one can prove it.
I'll be in the back pushing a cell phone button so the EMF meter will go off when you go near it, all right?
But, you know, I had a thought tonight, and I'm going to put this out there. I probably shouldn't, but I want to put this out there. You know, all these people say, oh, we have game cams, and we never – well, that's not true, because the Sasquatch was caught on a game cam up in Pennsylvania. But, you know, they're able to see these lights from these game cams. For some reason, they can see it in that spectrum. So they know – you know, how can I put this? I've been out in the woods so many times that – If something is different in those woods, I know instantly that something is different.
Yep.
You know, if someone else is in those woods, I know instantly someone else is in those woods. You get that feeling, and these things have existed all the time. Now, you know, people, you know, with the game cams, usually when you set a game cam, you put it, you know, on a tree at such and such a height, right? But it's always horizontal. It's always horizontal. Now, if you think on the terms of deer, yeah, how often do deer actually look up? Not very often. How often do humans actually look up? Not very often. If I was going to set out a game cam system to capture a Sasquatch, what I would do is I would find a tree with a branch that overhangs a certain trail. I would position that game cam to aim down from a good height, because any creature in the woods, they don't really often look up much.
Right.
So the chances of, if per se Sasquatch can see these game cams, the chances of it seeing that up in the tree are going to be even slimmer. So the chances of you actually capturing one on that game cam are going to be greater. You know, I mean, why do you think when we go hunting, we're up high, we're up in stands, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because most animals don't look up.
Yeah. That's, you know, I got a great friend who's been Bigfoot hunting for a long time, and he's got a team. And what's so funny, we were talking because I'm going to go on one of the expeditions with them because I've always wanted to experience a Bigfoot hunt with a team that does it all the time, right? And he told me, you know, in a private message, he told me, hey, bring your paranormal equipment because there's some paranormal activity going on out here too. You know, and they've recorded Bigfoot. They got a location that keep going to that no one knows about because they don't want people coming out there and contaminating, you know, trying
That's right.
to pose Bigfoot and whatnot. So he said that they're having ghost lights, you know, ghost lights appearing out in the woods.
Well,
and,
it's interesting because, you know, not too long ago I told Chris he was going on a couple of outdoor investigations. I told him, I said, you might want to be on the lookout for a Sasquatch too because it's a common – theory that they kind of go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where there's so many Sasquatch reports that happen from graveyards and the fact that so many people have seen, like what you said, paranormal
mm-hmm.
activity along with Sasquatch activity. So there's some correlation there. What it is, we don't quite know.
Yeah. You know, and I'm wondering, I always got that question in the back of my mind, could a Bigfoot be a creature from another dimension, and when these sightings happen, that's because they crossed over into our dimension, kind of like a spirit does. The spirit's in one location, right, a lot of the times,
right.
unless they're earthbound. If they're an earthbound spirit, they're here. But there's other spirits that are over on that side, and they cross over to this side when we open the door, especially when we're dealing with malevolent stuff. They're in your environment.
Well, Native American tribes indicate that Sasquatch is of the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't prove that or disprove that. It's not what I believe. I believe that,
yeah.
you know, they are one of the first hominid races that has always been here.
Yeah.
You know, and there's theories that we are alien manipulation of Sasquatch DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can't prove that or disprove that either. You know, these are all just theories and speculation. And
oh,
until just the same with paranormal, until we actually have something undeniably definitive on that subject, whether it be Sasquatch or whether it be a ghost, it's all speculation. It's all theory. And that theory
yeah.
is what drives us to continue to find out the true answers.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm wondering, Chris, have you ever done any studies since you're down in New Orleans? Have you ever done any studies on, you know, comparing your evidence to locations in New Orleans during when dealing with the hurricane season? I'm wondering if paranormal activity in that town picks up during hurricane season or not.
You know, that's an interesting question, and I think that's something that's going to take a couple of years to do. But
yeah.
as of right now, you know what? After hurricane season, our calls for residentials really dropped significantly. We went from during hurricane season, which ends, you know, which is starts around before the summer and it ends around, you know, early fall. We investigated a lot. We got a lot of calls. Calls kept coming. And then right before the Christmas, right before the holidays, not Christmas, but just, you know, Halloween and Thanksgiving, our requests dropped significantly. So that's a good point, and that's a great question you ask. And hopefully by this time next year, I can still say, hey, you know, when hurricane season hit, our calls went up, you know, and then when hurricane season is over with, our calls went down. I think that's something that's just going to take a few years to develop.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've always, when it comes to paranormal activity, I always try to see if there's any correlation with things with the Earth, right? Whether it's a full moon, a red moon, you know, those things always go into my mind as I'm thinking with the paranormal. If there's a pattern, I'm always trying to find patterns. You know, it's hard to do in our field you know, like you said, it takes years of doing it, but if people would think that way when they do their investigations and record those things, then we could collect some more data on that.
I think one of the things you should look in correlation also is solar flares.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because we all know that solar flares affect the electromagnetic field of the Earth. And we all know that, you know, with these electromagnetic pumps and the electromagnetic meters, that there is some correlation with the electromagnetic field and paranormal activity. So,
yeah, it's funny to say that, Brian, because, you know, I'm right now leaning towards that it doesn't affect, because we all know what an EM pump is. You know, we use those. And I've asked on a few different, a good bit of investigations, I've had the EM pump running while conducting a spare box session or EVP session, and I've asked, and I'll turn it off, and I'll ask, does me turning this device off help you? You know, and a couple of different times I've turned it on and said, does this device help you? And I've gotten back no. So for me getting back no, that tells me that just because I'm generating generating an EMF field that's not helping them. So maybe it's their own energy. We all know that, you know, they use our energy, but maybe if we make one artificially with metal and magnets, that it doesn't help them. So we still haven't figured that out quite yet. But I'm leaning towards no, it doesn't. Maybe it has to be human energy. Maybe it has to be energy that comes through us.
Well, see, that's the thing, Chris, is that we have these theories, and we're still trying to throw this into the pot. You know, it's basically like a recipe that we're trying to create. We're trying to throw all these different things into the pot to see what works and what doesn't work. And I think we're still in that stage with electromagnetic. But assuming that paranormal is influenced by electromagnetic fields, then it would only be logical and make sense to look into things that affect the Earth's electromagnetic fields, case in point, solar flares.
Right. Yeah, you know, I've had a guest on the show that wasn't really in the field per se, but he's a scientist, and he does a lot of experiments and whatnot, and kind of helps the paranormal field in a way, but him himself, he doesn't go and paranormal investigate, but he brought up a lot of valid points when it comes to paranormal phenomenon, you know, like an EVP or when we see something, because in our world, our environment as human beings, things have to happen scientifically so that our body picks it up, whether it is hearing or sight or whatnot, or when a recorder picks up an EVP. Scientifically, some things have to happen in the environment. And,
right.
You know, I never really thought that way till I interviewed the guy, and it kind of put a different perspective on what we're doing, you know?
It opens up a lot of questions. I mean, the whole field is you know, racked full of questions. And, you know, until we can start narrowing the answers down, then, you know, we're still striving for that goal.
Yeah. You know, and I've said this to Chris before, and I've said it to numerous guests on the show. I just think that, I think there's probably 2,000, 3,000, maybe 4,000 groups now in the United States. If these teams would start focusing on some of these theory processes, these ideas, I should say, and try to disprove or prove them, man, we would be making some headway. But it's more of who's got
the
faith. Oh, of
course. I mean, the only
you know,
way we're going to prove it is by breaking the mold.
Yeah.
Yeah, and thinking outside the box. Because obviously what we're doing now, it's not giving us the definitive 100% proof. So, you know, you just got to keep moving forward, thinking outside the box. And you know, Chris and I both agree that we think that in time, eventually, technology will catch up with all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll most certainly have that definitive proof.
Oh, yeah. You know, and what's really, what I've noticed when it comes to, per se, pattern, when I interview somebody that's in the field, and some of them have been in the field for many, many years, and they're from the northern states, and we get into discussions about demonic cases, you know, most of them have never even come across those type of a case, you know, something really malicious to the point that it could be demonic, you know. But then when you talk to people down here in the South, and, you know, our team and several other teams that deal with these cases more commonly, it's just kind of weird that down here we come across them a little bit more often, and then up there they're just like, well, they're very rare. We've never come across one. And so I'm wondering geographically if that has something to do with it. I don't know. I mean, I guess so. Let's wheel up the devil and the paranormal a little bit more and open up doors and crazy things through.
Right, right. And you have to take those same considerations and aspects into consideration. Even investigating Sasquatch, you know, it's the same as if you go hunt any animal, deer. You know, you want to know all factors that contribute to what these animals are going to be doing. And, you know, you can also translate and put that on paranormal as well.
I think, Chris, I know what it is. I think it's the Southern folks. We like to party and get drunk and play with Ouija boards and that kind of thing, and that's why we have so many clients call.
That's it. How do you think I ended up in AA? Spirituality and too much alcohol. That's what happens.
I don't know me for one. I grew up with my grandparents. You know, I'm from South Louisiana as well, and I grew up with my grandparents telling me all these stories. And I think that Southern people are just more open to talk about it. They're not so much in fear of it.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, you know, because I have a lot of friends that are up north, and of course, like Jody Parks, my co-host on my Tuesday show. She's in St. Louis, and she's like, man, what in the hell is going on down there with y'all, you know, in the South? And I said, man, it's crazy down here.
Hey, we're just more balls of the walls than those people up north.
maybe we're just so pissed off all the time that when we die, we just don't want to cross over, you know?
Yeah, man.
I think we'd like to know where we're going a little bit better than the people up north.
Yeah, so what do you guys got in store for this year?
This year is going to be amazing. I mean, you know what? We're working with Andrew Jackson Hotel. We haven't announced it. We're not announcing it yet, the exact date, but we're going to start doing overnight ghost tours and paranormal investigations at their hotel and other locations here in New Orleans. That's going to be a big deal. You're going to pay for the ghost hunt. You're going to pay for the room. You're going to get a lecture. You're going to get taught how to use the equipment. We're going to be at Comic-Con 2014 coming up next month. That's going to be great. We're going to be doing a panel. We're going to be doing a ghost review, evidence reveal, paranormal theory lecture and discussion, followed with a Q&A. Of course, a lot of residentials, you know, we're going to be doing that, and a lot of other plantations and historical sites, you know. Just, you got to think, guys, you know, I've been doing this for a while, but I launched this group in May, and, you know, we haven't stopped running, you know, we've blown up, so... looks like PSNO is not going anywhere for a long time.
And on my side of things, We also plan to delve a little bit deeper into the Sasquatch.
Wait, what?
I said, coming from my side, we also have plans to get a little deeper into the whole Sasquatch.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, we actually plan on going out to, tell them about what we got planned, bro.
I'm sorry?
Tell them about what we got planned.
I still not understanding you, Chris, but if you're saying what I think you're saying, we're planning on doing a couple of Sasquatch hunts. We're going to kind of start off small and eventually build it up a little bit more to different locations all throughout the South. Maybe eventually we'll actually do similar to what Chris said with the paranormal, where we can actually take groups with us on these Sasquatch hunts. That's the plan. That's the hopes.
That's awesome. And I know, Brian, you're on the URN radio network on Thursday nights. So
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the family.
Thank you. I'm still working the bugs out and trying to figure everything out. And, you know, more importantly, what I'm trying to figure out is exactly what I want to present and what I want, you know, what I want to bring to the audience.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, with our network, we just try to, I think every show on the network has got its own uniqueness, and that's what's great about it. You know, I'm the owner, but I pretty much give creative control to every host and let them just do their thing, and it's been successful.
Right, right. Well, I appreciate you guys having me on there and allowing me to do this. It means a lot to me.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, you know, a while back I approached Brian about doing a show a while back, and he was like, man, I don't know. You know, I was like, you know, I think you'd love it, man. He'd be great for the radio, you know. And after getting his feet wet coming on a few times, you know, he did great. And so I told him, man, I was like, you need to do your own thing, dude, because, I mean, you know, you know so much about Sasquatch. You know so much about paranormal. You know, I mean, you just make for a great show. So I think it's going to take off big. You know.
Well, I want to try to lean more into the whole. You know, I want a whole open field. I want it to be about cryptids. I want it to be about aliens, UFOs. I want it to be about paranormal. I just have to figure out the right terminology to incorporate all of that. You know, paranormal is you know, most people think paranormal, I think spirit. You know, they don't think aliens or Sasquatch even when paranormal.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's trying to find the right terminology and putting it out there. That way when people see it or read it, they know, hey, this is going to be about anything and everything.
Oh yeah, definitely. Now, Chris, what's websites and everything that they can go check y'all out and possibly attend your events or whatnot?
Wait, say that one more time. I'm sorry.
What's websites? Well, how can people get a hold of you to check out what your team's doing this year and some of the events that they want to attend?
Okay, well, we have the website. You can go to www.paranormalsocietynewworleans. It's don't put the of in there, paranormalsocietynewworleans.com. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/paranormalnoah, and the same thing for our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/paranormalnoah. And now we're steadily putting up videos, and the link to our events, the tickets should go on sale, and we should launch it within the next 2 or 3 weeks. So that's going to be a big deal. This is the first time New Orleans has ever done anything like this, and I'm really proud to be pitching the idea to the hotel and to the tour company that's involved, and you know, really helping New Orleans, you know, just embrace the paranormal field, you know. I think New Orleans hasn't ever done that. And I think that my team and I, along with Brian, I think, you know, with us actually opening up these paranormal investigating tours, it's going to blow up. It's going to bring more tourism down to New Orleans. So you don't have to come down here and just get drunk and see naked women, you know. You come down here and hop for ghosts too. Okay.
Yeah. And I think it should be added that, you know, you can reach either Chris or myself through these websites that Chris indicated. One other thing that I want to, and this may even come as a surprise to Chris, my profession, I'm a sculptor. I sculpt action figures, and very soon I'm going to be looking into creating a line of cryptid and paranormal action figures. So that's something to look forward to. That's a little teaser I'm putting out there for you guys.
He's going to make a fat paranormal Chris action figure. It's going to be $19.95 on eBay, okay? You know?
Just don't sculpt my co-host Jeff, because you would have to have a shitload of clay to sculpt his head.
Jeff, you're on there. Even though you got a big head, buddy, we're going to get you, okay?
But
we might have to talk a little bit more, but we're going to get you.
Him and Chris are in competition then for the biggest head.
You don't know who you're up against.
There was an
guys, it's been great. I got to run. But I love all you guys. Thanks for having me on tonight, and I'll see y'all soon.
All right, man.
Yeah, I was interrupted there. There was an art sculptor who recently wanted to sculpt a nude statue of me, and he got about halfway done, and he realized, he said, I can't do this because it's actually going to upstage the statue of David.
Oh, Lord.
We can't do that. We can't rewrite the history books.
That's pretty funny. Well, guys, I appreciate you guys letting me call in. I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes as far as the show goes.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Chris and I kind of run together and, you know, we give each other help. We love each other, and we look forward to what the future holds.
Yeah, and for everybody out there, just check out URN Radio Network on Facebook and here on Blog Talk for when Brian launches his new show. It'll be on Thursday nights.
Yeah, you can look us up on Facebook also for the radio show. It's Project Paranormal Radio. I don't know the full website right off the top of my head. But, yeah, go ahead, check us out. We'll advertise what we're doing. I think this week we're going to have a psychic medium on the show, and we're going to talk to her and get those aspects of the paranormal. But I appreciate you guys letting me chill out with you, and I appreciate you letting me be part of the URN Radio team.
Yeah, you're welcome, man, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Okay, take care, guys.
All right. All right. Good show tonight.
Cool.
Nice.
Jeff was, Jeff, I've noticed this last month, Jeff's just quiet as hell. He'll talk at the beginning and then that's it.
It's usually when I'm asleep.
Oh, poor baby.
See, I'm awake right now because I get to sleep in a little bit tomorrow, but I still got to get up fairly early because I got to go in to get a bridge tomorrow morning.
Why don't you get a grill?
Because I'm not gangsta.
Oh, man. But, it was a good show, right? Chris is a cool dude down there in New Orleans, and this Sunday we will have psychic medium Mary Barrett. She's really fun, really cool woman, very talented too, and she'll be doing some call-in readings. And I got orders from my mother to find out where her dad is, because Grandma came through and started talking to Mary last time I interviewed her, but now Mom's worried about where her dad is. So, because Grandma says that she's sitting over there, she pops in at Mom's apartment and sits in the corner and says there's too much yapping going on, which I laugh my ass off, because normally Mom or my brother is just talking our ears off.
Hey, y'all want to hear something funny?
What's that?
Of course.
You know, the Seahawks won the game earlier, and Aaron Andrews interviewed one of their players after the game, Sherman, Richard Sherman. And here's the interview. This is – I have no idea what this guy says. Hopefully you guys can hear it here. Here it goes.
I couldn't hear it. What did he say?
I don't know. It's just a bunch of rambling.
Oh, God.
He made the play that caused the interception for them to win the game. And they asked you, take us through that play. I'm the best quarterback in the league. Don't you ever talk about me again, Michael Crabtree, or something like that. Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
What's the name of that quarterback?
He's a cornerback, and his name is Richard Sherman. And what was funny, he says, that's what y'all get for talking about me, and Aaron Andrews just looks at him and says, who was talking about you? It's hilarious.
Wow.
Already people saying he should be suspended for that. I'm like, really? Come on.
All right. Well, that's tonight's show. And we'll see you again next Sunday. Tune in tomorrow for FAPS Radio. And then Tuesday, Terrify with myself and Jody. We don't have a guest. We're working on one right now. So till then, talk to you later, guys. Have a good night.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.